Today's episode is brought to you by Travis Wiegand. Hey, Travis. Thank you for continuing to support the show. I don't think your name is as ridiculous as Rod does, apparently.
No. I just, every time I hear Travis, I think of Travis Walker, but just as Travis Wiegand.
Dude, you're from Texas. Didn't you know like 15 guys named Travis?
Oh, dude. There was a Travis High School.
I knew a kid in the fifth grade whose name was Travis Dallas.
That's a Texas name.
That is a Texas-ass name, and he was a nerdy little kid. Like
Travis Dallas.
Yeah, I think his parents like thought like if we give him a cool
from
name,
Tarrant County,
like a dude sounding name. Like I mean that name comes with a set of spurs. I mean,
I don't know about spurs, but it at least comes with a Dallas Cowboy T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah,
and
a DUI.
Yeah, and one DUI, a bit of an accent. And a tendency to use the word fixin' to.
Yeah.
But do you know that cracks me up? I still, every time I talk to my mother, I giggle when she says it and it pisses her off. But what? she says fixin' to all the time. It's a very Texas thing.
Sure.
Yeah, we're fixin' to do this. We're fixin' to go somewhere.
Yeah, I don't, I guess like in the Midwest, we got nothing.
Well, the Midwest, the whole thing isn't an accent. It's that people in the Midwest just say shit wrong.
Like what? Like we don't
like
say
roof instead of roof.
Okay, but that's how you're supposed to say it.
No, yeah. Roof is how you're supposed to say it. But people in the Midwest say roof.
Roof.
No, it's a roof.
I'm going up on the roof.
And
I think I do a little bit of both. It's roof.
In the Midwest say naked instead of naked.
Hey, look, all
wash
I know is
instead of wash.
I've never felt more out of place than every crick other conversation I have out here with people, because I honestly feel like they do not speak the same language as I do.
Oh, no. They say they have weird slang terms. How is a milkshake a frap?
Yeah.
What?
Well, not only that, I mean, just the way they talk in general. Like, it's not Boston itself, but especially like we have callers on the show from New Hampshire. And if it's from New Hampshire, you know they're going to be talking like this.
Oh,
and
really?
This isn't even American. How's this even American accent?
I got that when I was in North Dakota, but I just assumed it was because they were so close to Canada. Like, we literally drove past a sign that said Canada, 6 miles.
Right.
So I'm like, well, that explains how they don't talk right. Says the guy with the worst sentence structure ever.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Happy Friday to all 11 of you. It is Radio Free Weir with Rod Babcock.
Yes.
And Rod is freshly off the red carpet from the Gala KC last night, which he attended with Rebecca, because you guys were going in my stead, as I am in Boston and cannot go to Kansas City to pick up. Well, I don't even think there was anything to pick up. I mean,
no.
Yeah.
Actually, we found out that you could, and I don't remember, I think Rebecca told me it was $60.
Yeah, Dana told Rebecca that for $65 they would give you a plaque. And you know what? I was very happy that I won this, because it really was a significant thing. Like, I had to be nominated for it. To be nominated,
oh, no, huge.
You had to have people nominate you, and then to win it, you had to have people vote for you. So it is a thing. It does matter. But then they treat it like, I remember when I was in high school and I saw this ad and it was like, we'll publish your poems. And I was like, I write a lot of lyrics and stuff. That'd be kind of cool to, you know, have your stuff published. Yeah. So I sent it off. I sent off to be published, just thinking, well, you know, maybe they'll publish me. And they sent me a letter back saying, we loved your stuff. We're going to publish it. Just send us $50 and you'll be in our next magazine. And I was like, what? I'm not paying you to publish me. Right. That makes no sense. And it really felt like that's how the pitch treats these awards. Like, yeah, these people are talented and good at what they do. I mean, it's not like anybody gets these awards, because I got it, but also like Gary Lezak from whatever, you know, the weatherman, the bald dude, he got one, and a bunch of other people, Kate Hogan, Ham Kitty won for best. Yeah, Alford won. So it's like these are prominent people in Kansas City. They're not just handing these out to anybody, but then they treat it like, oh, yeah, if you want anything, though, you have to pay for it.
I did. We had a good time last night. We had a lot of fun and we talked to a lot of people. And I I had my little portable Zoom recorder and I was going around telling people, yeah, I'm Jonathan Weir and I won this great award. And so we're asking people why they're here and what they want and blah, blah, blah. And so it was pretty fun. And one of the people I hit up, the guy was like, yeah, my name's Adam and I own the pitch.
Oh, Adam Carey.
Yeah. And I went, oh. He's like, yeah, we emailed Jonathan. And I went, you know I'm not Jonathan.
Was he the guy in the Facebook Live video?
I think he was on there at some point. Yeah, he was really cool about it. He was really funny. But it was just, you know, of all the people to try to pull some crap with.
That is actually pretty funny. But screw Adam Carey and screw the pitch. Thank you for allowing me to win, I guess. But at the same time, I'm not paying you $65 for proof that I won.
Right. And that's just it. It is a People's Choice Awards and it's a bragging rights thing. And it's awesome. And it feels good. But yeah, the pitch isn't. I mean, you know, they're not giving the, I guess they are giving you an award, but they're just basically saying, hey, look, this is what everybody voted on.
Right. And then if you want recognition for that, you have to pay us some money. And, you know, I got done paying for stuff like that in college.
Yeah.
And I am talking about hookers.
Yes, of course.
I got done paying for that kind of stuff when I was in college. I didn't pay for my diploma for
it. Well, you didn't get any recognition. But I got a whole damn box of Lamar's, dude.
Was that the best donut in Kansas City? Is that what they won for?
I don't know, but I know that the people that were there giving away Lamar's donuts were wonderful, wonderful people.
I will also tell you that Rebecca was not enjoying the evening. I don't know how she was with you, but she was texting me before.
No, she had a miserable time.
Are you still eating donuts?
No. I don't think I like your tone of voice, sir. I don't like your accusation.
No, I'm actually just shocked that there's still donuts left. How did you not eat an entire box of donuts already? That is shocking to me.
I don't think I like your accusation. Well, no, I was, you know what's funny you say that? I was driving home last night. And I called Roman and right before he went to bed. And it was like 10 o'clock. I'm like, why aren't you in bed? And I was giving him a hard time. I said, dude, I got a whole box of Lamar's. He goes, please save me some for breakfast. Because you think I'm going to eat this whole box? He goes, well, I don't know how much is a whole box. And then when he saw the box this morning, he goes, oh, damn. Yeah, okay.
I realized a while ago that I can actually, if I go to Dunkin' and get a dozen donuts, it's a lot cheaper than going to Dunkin' and getting like half a dozen and getting a bunch of munchkins and stuff like that. Like, at a certain point, if you get enough donuts at Dunkin', I think they're paying you for the donuts.
And oh,
it's way too cheap. But the point is, Rebecca was texting me saying some guy was like creeping on her and hitting on her and
right.
Leave her alone. So at one point she was hiding and I had like that, oh, how dare he? Oh my God. If I was there, I'd kick this guy's ass. And then I thought, wait, Rebecca was a former MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Why didn't she kick his ass?
No, Rebecca would have kicked your ass.
It's just another tribute to how nice Rebecca is that this guy didn't have his fucking face broken in. Because she could have easily done that.
Oh, yeah. No, I had no idea what to expect. And everybody dresses nice. And some people, like, in a fun way, you know what I mean? Like, you know, wild purple jacket kind of stuff. And so it's at the Madrid Theater. Mm-hmm. And it's set up like any other event, little tables and stuff. And everybody's just kind of mulling around, networking. A lot of snobby hobnobbing.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people on the prowl. Like if you're in a situation where you're kind of expected to network, what a great chance to drop your best pickup lines.
Right.
But so Rebecca and I arrived separately, of course, and she was like,
getting hit on. By arrived separately, you mean she arrived on time, and then you, as is your norm, were late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I was late. I got there as soon as I wanted to.
Yeah, but you're never on time.
No, I'm not. The point is, We had a good time. We had a lot of fun. What's weird is nobody hit on me and nobody hit on Rebecca when I was there.
Right. They left her alone, which, yeah, no,
so that was odd.
You were acting very weird.
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah. She said, like, I don't know what's wrong with Rod. He's acting really weird. Like, she said you were fine when you were like, when you're on video, but like, just generally, she said you yelled at some guy, and then grabbed some woman's arm.
Well, perhaps.
Were you drunk?
I didn't. Had no.
Been drinking?
No.
Because I've never seen you act drunk. And she said you seemed like you were kind of drunk.
No, I was not drunk. I was actually, to be honest, I realized last night that I have been in the last, I don't know, 2 weeks socially deprived. I haven't left the house much. I've been trying to get all this crap done in the garage and basement. And then my focus keeps changing because of other stuff. And then this last week I spent some time with my father and dealing with this stuff and getting this car moved, which is, but yeah, when I actually got out of the house and with people in a city, in a, you know, social, I was like, wow, I don't know how to act right now.
Hold on a second. Fucking Amazon's at the door. Hold on.
Oh, well, Amazon's at the door. Do, 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 do. Actually, you know what? Here, hold on. If I can find it real quick before he gets back. I have this, yeah, here, check it out. This is my new ringtone.
God damn guy. Couldn't just...
Oh, are you back? Okay, yeah. This is the on-hold music.
Goddamn Amazon driver standing at the door, and I'm like, I'm at an port in my house where, you, like, if you're at my front door, you can see me sitting here.
Yeah.
Couldn't just leave the package there and walk away. No, no, no. He has to stand there.
He's like, hey.
He's looking through the window at me.
Can he see that you're not wearing pants?
You know, I'm so hairy that maybe.
He probably thought you were wearing a Christmas sweater.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? You,
being socially deprived. Yeah. Like I said, I got out last night and was like, oh my goodness. And I was excited to talk to Rebecca cause I haven't. And yeah, haven't like I said, I haven't talked to anybody that wasn't, you know, family or a dog.
Right.
In a while. I was
thinking about that. Cause I was like, you don't have a job to go to anymore. And I think the most social interaction that you got was from me coming over to your house every couple of days to record the podcast. Yes. And now you don't even have that.
No. And, I'm trying to fix that. But in all seriousness, I had like 1,000 things that I had started to do. And always said, I just don't have time to do these things. And I went, you know, I don't have a job. I have time to do these things.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to get all this crap done.
Now you're trying to do it all.
And it's just, I took down my 2-story doghouse that I spent all that time building.
Oh, no. Because
I can't get the damn dogs in it.
If only somebody had told you before you did that, that there's no way those dogs are going up.
Why?
What?
Why?
I'm not saying it's a bad idea for...
No, and I'm not. I'm just curious because here's what I don't understand. I literally built stairs.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it was a ladder.
I also know your
they
dogs.
Go up and down stairs all the time.
Yeah, but not only because they have to.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I tried and tried to get them up there, and then I think I, you know... dressed Rex out where he's like, I don't even want to be in the house anymore. I'm like, get a damn box. And it wasn't that bad, but yeah. And so I put like pieces of hot dog going up the steps and into the thing. And yeah. Finally, when he didn't think anyone was looking, the other dog, Dino, like ran up there, like, I didn't right. And like, didn't even get all the way up there, like reached his head in to get the last pieces and then got down real fast. Like he was going to get in trouble. And that's when I realized, well, this is backfired.
So you had fun last night at the thing.
We did. We had a good time. It was, to be honest, if, it would have been lame as shit, just to go.
Right.
To me. Most everybody I talked to was there because they won,
mm-hmm.
or were nominated, you know. I think I talked to one couple that goes every year just for fun to see what's, you know, to try the free samples and see what's going on. There was tons of free samples, mostly foo-foo food that I wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
Shit like lobster salad. Lobster I don't even know salad, what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm assuming
it's just salad with lobster in it.
They had what I'm pretty sure was cat poop on a pita bread.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't eat that. Finally, I found a dude that had like barbecue sandwiches. I'm like, what the hell? Like, shouldn't this be every booth? Barbecue sandwiches?
I got that feeling. And then I was like, is this just a way to trick people into showing up? Because if you hadn't won, you wouldn't go to this, right? So it's just a way to trick people into spending money they wouldn't normally spend.
But what's funny is, now I guess if you were buying drinks at the bar, then you were paying money. But other than that, everything was free. You had to pay tickets, I guess, right? You bought tickets. Yeah. What's funny is you probably shouldn't have, because no one ever asked for tickets or stopped
us
at the door.
I paid $50 for tickets.
Rebecca and I were just strolling in and out. Like, nobody asked us
anything. Oh, my God, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, as I was walking from my parking spot, you know, to the door, I was, you know, screenshotting and making sure I had it right handy for the person that was going to ask.
Yeah.
And Rebecca's like, you don't have to do that. They're not going to ask.
Oh, my God.
What's funny is I literally was walking around all night telling people, yes, my name is Jonathan Weir. I won for, you know, best radio personality. And I had one guy in the middle of me saying it go, man, you ain't Jonathan Weir. You're Rod Babcock. Like, oh, shit, you listened.
That's good.
Yeah. And then I thought it was funny. People go, I listen to your show. And I thought, no, you don't. Because first of all, you don't know it's not on. And second of all, I'm not him.
Yeah, yeah. I bet that there are a lot of people when they saw that I won with.
Who?
Yeah. Oh,
who
yeah.
Who is that? Who is that?
Absolutely.
Wasn't that a Fentress husband or something?
That was what the dude, Adam, was telling me. He said last year, Aventra won.
Yeah.
And she, by the time it was announced, had already been fired.
Yeah.
This year, it was you. He's like, I feel like we're the kiss fired. Of death.
Yeah.
Well, I think it says more about radio in Kansas City than it does the pitch.
Well, yeah. Yes and no. I mean, Aventra deserved to be fired the two times that she has now been fired within a year. How bad did she have to suck to get fired?
I don't
fired
know what
again?
Happened at the other place.
Well, it's Cumulus, and I mean, really, you're hanging on by your nails as soon as they hire you at Cumulus. But still, I'm just amazed that she was fired that quickly from Cumulus.
Yeah, because I just, one day, somebody said, my wife, in fact, said, Fincher was fired. No, you told me she
I
was
told you.
Fired, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then Tabitha came home and was like, said that she thought she'd been fired because she wasn't on.
Look, I'm never happy when anybody's fired in radio, not necessarily because I like them, but because I'm always like, oh, that's not good. That might mean the industry's in decline and my job might be next. But if there's one person who defines the kind of radio that I don't like, the slacker ass, I can just sit behind a microphone without any preparation whatsoever and cash big checks because I'm just such an entertaining person.
I never got big checks, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not talking about you right now.
Oh,
I mean, you should feel personally attacked by
I do
statements.
A little. I do a but, little. Until you said big offensive. Checks.
I mean, like for doing the podcast, I kind of, that's the way my approach has been for the podcast, because when I was trying to do a structured podcast,
it shows.
People were just kind of like, whatever. Like they just, I think people just want to hear us talk on the podcast.
Well, I don't think people,
show, you have to do a freaking show.
People just want to hear us talk. I mean, you know, we should get some sort of content.
Do you want to do that? You want to do a John Dury?
Yeah, let's do that. We haven't done that in a while.
So today's Friday. Normally we do a list on Friday, but things have been kind of messed up. So we're not going to do a list today. We're going to do a list tomorrow. And then we can talk about this off air if you want. But I really think we need to step up our game as far as recording is concerned and start releasing an episode a day.
Okay.
Five episodes a week.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we should do that.
No, I agree. In my opinion, the show sucks.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like it.
It's not good. And it's not that. It's not that the talent's not there. Obviously, I'm here.
Yeah, right.
I just don't feel like you're bringing it.
I mean, you're Jonathan Weir, the number one radio personality.
Damn right I am.
Yeah, right. I mean, and currently number eight in Boston. So,
ooh, look at that.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's
single
only
digits.
I've only been rated for 1.5 weeks, but
yeah. It was a solid 1.5 week.
Yeah, I'm still riding the crest of somebody else's wave currently, but I don't know. All right, let's do it, John Jury. This comes from Amy, who says, I don't know what to do with my 10-year-old son. Well, actually, I don't know what to do with my 38-year-old husband, or maybe with both. Here's my situation. My son and I have always had a special bond. From the day he was born, we snuggled in bed every night and again, first thing in the morning. It's our time together. Here's the problem. He's now 10 and we still do it. It's part of our routine. My husband and I have been having a fight about it for 5 years. Now he's saying we have to make a change, that it's time. He says we're raising him to be a mama's boy, and that's not normal. He may be right.
That is normal.
I do see the point, but he's so sweet, and as long as he wants to snuggle with me, why should I give that up? My husband travels for his job, so he's not even there for some of the time. I love my little snuggle time. Ugh, I just... Hold on.
Yeah, that's kind of
and I don't want it to end. That's from Amy.
See, that's putting me off my donut.
Yeah, I was gonna say if the donut wasn't sweet enough to give you the beatus, then I love my little snuggle time.
Okay, here's the deal. On one hand, get what you can while you can. Okay, your kid's 10. You know, that's my whole thing right now with Roman is I'm trying to. I'm not doing great at it, but I'm trying to spend more time with him because he's 11 and I got like 2 years tops before he's smoking cigarettes in the bed of a truck going, my dad's a dick. Yeah. Right?
Your son is not you. Your son is your wife.
Okay.
I've met that kid. He's a lot more like your wife than you. I mean, I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying that you don't need to worry about your son turning into you, which I think is your biggest fear.
Yeah, but you don't know what he's like. He's twisted.
Okay, I know he's got some behavioral issues and things like that, right? I mean, that's fine.
His dad plays him Seven Dirty Words by George Carlin on the way to school.
But I don't think that you need to worry about him becoming, I
played him the Enormous Penis song the other day. And he thought that was pretty funny, yeah.
I just don't think, I don't see that kid as turning into some kind of reprobate. He's too involved in activities and things like that. Here's the difference between you and him. He's got a lot to lose.
That's true.
At 11.
That's true.
You didn't.
No, I had nothing going on. Nothing in the forward positive direction.
Right. That's what
I mean. Was, you know, working towards someday being a lucrative drug dealer. Never was lucrative. The point to this is.
Really?
Well, I did okay. I mean, you know, it was my living, but
as
I
good as you can before the cartels start coming after you. Yeah.
So the point is. Your kid's going to grow up and it's not going to be long before, no matter what it is, it's going to change. So on one hand, yes, enjoy the things you can while you can, you know, with kids. I admit that 10's getting a little weird, but at the same time, it's kind of like Roman had a stuffed bunny that's finally kind of disappeared. I haven't seen it in a while. That I was like, why won't he stop with the bunny? And I wanted to go, you know, take it away. And everything I read and everybody I talked to was like, no, just let it be. He'll let it go in his own time. And, you know, it was cute when he was little. And then, like, when he was 10 and he still got the, you know, I need my bunny. I'm like, argh. But I never said anything. And then it finally just kind of
went away on its own.
Went away. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
I assume it's still in his room. But I also told Tabitha, you know, at some point, some kid's going to make fun of him for it, and then he'll never want to see it again.
Yeah, but that's kind of has to happen, doesn't it? I mean,
yes.
With Finn, he refuses to potty train right now. We're going through that. He doesn't want to go on the potty.
No, we don't have to worry about him getting a girl pregnant.
I don't know. He is pretty cute. But I was talking to my sister about it, and she's like, "I don't worry about it. Like, one way or another, he will," because her daughter was the same way, very strong-willed and independent, and didn't want to potty train until she went to preschool, and the other kids made fun of her because she wasn't potty trained yet, and immediately she came home. She's like, "I want to potty train." So I'm
sometimes
just saying,
that's what it takes.
Yeah, just let the brutality of the other children do your parenting for you. Why should you make a decision or do the hard work that other children are perfectly willing to farm out for
you?
Well,
in this case, though, other children aren't seeing your son and you snuggle in the mornings and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay.
But I've talked to countless people that have had huge issues with the kids sleeping in the bed. And then there comes a point where, okay, this has to stop. And then it can't. And it's an ordeal. And it's, you know what I mean? Here again, eventually the kid gets to a point where like, I don't want to sleep in your damn bed anymore. But at that point, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you and your wife haven't had sexy time in 2 years or whatever.
You know,
when Roman came, I was like, no, we're not ever doing that.
No, when we moved here, Finn was sleeping in our bed up until a week ago. Finn was sleeping in our bed just because his getting his room set up was a big chore, because we basically like we're using his room for storage,
right?
And it was not fun, like on many levels, but mostly because I would wake up and it felt like somebody had been kicking my ass all night.
Yeah, because he's a kicker.
Somebody had my son. Yeah, I would have little footprints all over my back. And I don't know how parents do that. I don't know how people can do that.
I don't either.
Sleep in the bed, because I was like, no, we're not doing this. We need to set up his bed up.
One of the things that concerns me about my son is he's never ever once in his life been still. And when he sleeps, even then,
yeah,
he never stops moving.
Okay, so Finn does this. I wonder if every little boy does this, because Henry did too. Did Roman like wiggle his butt all the time when he was sleeping?
No, that's weird. Nope. That's you. That's weird. Yeah, that's just a weird thing.
It's like a dog like chasing rabbits. I honestly think it's something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Amy's problem.
Yes.
Amy, you're going to make your kid weird and knock it off. Is that what we were trying to say?
I guess. Yeah. No. But at the same time, I really wouldn't worry too much about it.
I wouldn't worry at all about it. I would worry more about your husband having a problem with it. I mean, I don't know. If the kids' friends found out about it, they would think it's weird. As a mama's boy myself, I at 10 years old, I totally would have loved it if my mom was like, come on, we're just going to snuggle for a little bit. On the other hand, I can see why your husband thinks it's weird, but so what? At 12, yes, it's very weird. But at 10, it's fine. Let it go.
Yeah, I don't think I'd worry too much about it at 10. You know, maybe, you know, don't rub your husband's nose in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Calling it my cuddle time.
Yeah. Or whatever. Just
my
you know,
love, my little snuggle time. That's
hey, if you know, if you're not, if you're away on business, then yeah, he's going to sleep over here. I don't know. I guess it's not that big of a deal, but just don't. It's natural for, I think, husbands
to be jealous
of sons and yeah, to some degree. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
To be jealous of the attention that their sons get?
Yeah, not.
Do you think that's natural?
No, I don't. Please understand. I don't mean in a challenging kind of way. I mean, you as a man, that's your wife, and she's supposed to take care of you. And at the point that you have a child and that partnership or whatever, that relationship changes, a lot of people have issues with that stuff. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think you should, yeah, but a lot of people do.
I guess.
I mean, people that, you know, get married, have kids right away, and when their kids go to college, they look at each other and go, I've never really hung out with you, have I?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never been just us.
I don't know. There's a point I was going to make on this, and I think it's this. Amy, the first time the kid gets a boner, then it needs to stop. But up until then.
Yeah, but at that point, he'll go, no, I'm fine. I'm over here.
Or he'll be like, no, mom, it's snuggle time.
Okay, that's weird.
That's disturbing. Okay.
Very much so.
All right. You want to do some news stories?
Sure.
All right. Let's talk about micro cheating. Do you know what that is?
Micro cheating?
Yeah. The word micro is very in vogue these days. I was reading about micro dosing.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah.
I just had an entire conversation. Okay. My wife was watching some god awful show, the something zombie. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in the show, everybody in Seattle's turning into zombies. But as long as you can eat a little bit of brains, then you're fine.
Okay, having been to Seattle, I don't know that I'd be able to tell the difference.
Right.
There were a lot of
heroin addicts
just staggering around.
The whole show is about this one mortician who's a zombie. So she just eats brains to not be a zombie and then solves crime. I don't know. It's a stupid, stupid show. So
there's crime going on in a world that's turning into zombies.
Oh, dude, it's so stupid. This show is ridiculous. But I was watching it, or she was watching it, and I was sitting there trying to talk to her. The point is, on the show, it's a detective show, so the guy's like asking questions about the deceased. Was he on any medications? Well, yes, he took, you know, this for cholesterol and this for that and blah blah, and a daily microdose of psilocybin,
right,
for clarity. And I went, oh really? A daily microdose of psilocybin, which is mushrooms. I'm like, interesting. So I mentioned it to a friend of mine, and he was like, okay, now I want to try a microdose of mushrooms and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've taken them before, but it was always as many as you could possibly take.
Right.
Never taken a microdose of anything.
I was reading this article about people in business, like CEOs and stuff, who are microdosing with LSD. And it's not enough to get you high or even make the walls melt, but it just helps them think a little.
Okay, more do you think it there. Does, or do you think
it could be a placebo effect? I don't know.
Yeah.
I will say this: I guess I microdose with marijuana every night. I have it's illegal here, and I smoke just a little bit, like just take one or two hits before I go to bed. It helps me sleep, and I sleep a lot better after I do it.
Yeah, of course you do.
Anyway, micro cheating.
You're not bothered by those pesky dreams.
Micro cheating is the thing that we're talking about. It's basically when you do small things that flirt with infidelity, but you never get physical. Isn't that just called flirting? I mean, maybe it shouldn't be called micro cheating. It should be called almost cheating, because micro implies that you're doing that thing.
Yeah.
But I don't.
It's like that White Stripes song where she said, come and kiss me by the riverside. My boyfriend said it's fine. He don't consider that cheating.
Cheating. Yeah. Yeah. Bobby said it's fine.
Yeah. Bobby said it's fine. He don't consider that.
Bobby cheating. Likes to watch. He's a cuckold.
He's
a cookie. Yeah,
he's a weirdo.
He's a cookie cheese. And over 100,000 people recently took a survey.
Do not take your kids there. It is a weird place.
The ball pit is not what you think it is.
Gag ball pit. Yeah. So anyways,
100,000 people took a survey on what counts as micro cheating. Number one, following an ex on social media. Only 3% said it's cheating. And I guess so. That makes sense to me, because, you know, you're not following them. You were probably already friends with them. And then if you break up, you have to go in and delete them. But not every breakup ends horribly. In fact, most breakups don't end horribly, and you might still be friends afterwards. Why wouldn't you still be?
You following? Don't know what you're talking about. You have no experience in breakups.
No, I don't. But I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's. I have listened to this discussion amongst so many people so many times about what constitutes cheating. And it amazes me how upset people will get about different people get about different things, you know, stuff that is no big deal. I mean, there are women out there that consider a man looking at a Playboy magazine cheating.
Yeah.
Which I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, they don't understand how much
that's prevention.
Evil we're capable of if they think that's cheating.
Yeah, you have no idea. You know how many dead hookers I got piled up in the basement? Yeah.
Right. Deleting apps like Tinder from your phone, but not deleting your account. 8% said it counts as cheating. No,
it doesn't count as cheating, but it does count as leaving the back door open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you're on Grindr, then it's literally.
Yeah.
Meeting up with someone and claiming it's work related when it isn't. 54% said yes, that's cheating. Another 42% said it's suspicious.
I will say this. If you are if you are a guy and you are going to, I don't care what it is, do something, whether it's eat lunch or work out or whatever with a woman, and you don't tell your wife, that's
suspicious.
Some level of effed up, because either it speaks to your intentions or it speaks to your
lack of
some sort of level of mistrust in your relationship.
Well, let me ask you this. What's worse, not telling at all or lying about it? Because I think it's worse. Yeah, if you lie about it, if you say, "Oh no, we gotta work on, I don't know."
No, it's me and Sam
tomorrow or something
from my work. Sam.
Yeah, yeah,
Samantha.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, me and Sam and Chris, we're gonna three-way these promos for tomorrow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Samantha with the big titties. No, I don't.
By the way, my sister's name is Samantha, so I really wish you hadn't said that last part.
Sorry.
Weirded out. Sending a heart, kiss, or wink emoji in a flirty way. Only 8% said it's okay. 49% said it's cheating. And another 43%
I send everybody would
at least be concerned. Yeah,
it's not, it's not a heart emoji. It's a peace, love, and rock and roll thing. You know?
I hope our wives never see the emojis that we're sending each other.
Oh, that's different. Those emojis have no concern of anyone else's.
I think she's just accepted it. Having a work wife or work husband, 19% said it's cheating, 31% said it's fine, and 50% said it's not cheating, but they'd feel weird about
everybody it. Everybody has, or I shouldn't say everybody, but most people work with someone of the opposite sex.
Yeah, but the whole work husband, work wife thing, I don't like the terminology, because it does
either
imply that there's something more there than just where we work together and we're kind of close or we're friends.
Yeah, because I worked every day with many women and never thought of one of them as my work wife.
Yeah, yeah. Like right. Like, I don't know what Rebecca would be, but I would never call her my work wife. It maybe
she's a coworker?
Yeah, coworker, probably. Compadre.
Voice of reason?
Voice of reason. Yeah. Yeah.
An annoying, fucking happy, cheery voice of reason.
It's really horrible. Confiding in someone you're attracted to instead of your significant others, 25% said it's cheating. Sexting someone but not getting physical with them, 91% said that is cheating.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad
if you're sexting, if you're actually, you know,
definitely
like,
would say that is
take off your pants.
That is crossing the line, but it's
still, I'm not good at sexting. I don't know.
I mean, that's definitely crossing the line, and definitely maybe I could see that as grounds for divorce, but I don't know that I would say that is,
wouldn't call it cheating. Perhaps I would call it a serious issue.
Yeah.
I would call it a
point, though,
mistrust.
I think I would just be like, couldn't you have just cheated like a normal person? Well, you gotta be gross. Now everybody got those pictures.
But yeah. And you know, like I said, when it comes to the term cheating, it gets weird. Everybody's got their own definition of that stuff. You know, I've heard guys complain that their wives spend too much time with their friends. Their friends, you know, the girls always get together and go, you know, and feel like she's cheating on me.
Yeah.
Like, really? Okay. That's kind of weird, but I don't know. Not everybody's okay with everyone having their own lives separately.
Yeah. Or I don't know. I've
because
never
Tabitha really... and I have aspects of our lives that are separate.
Yeah.
And aspects of our lives that are not separate. We talk to each other about it. I feel like people that work with their spouses, how do they have anything left to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, Katie and I, my day begins now I wake up at 4.
Yeah.
And I get home at 9. And Katie's only been up for like 2 hours. And then we pretty much spend the rest of the day together.
And you lived maybe, with a normal person, you'd have to wake them up when you got home.
Yeah. Well, she has to wake up to take the kid to school. But yeah, so I don't get home at 9, maybe like 9:30 or 10. But the point is, we see each other a lot more, but we still talk, I guess. I don't know.
She's yeah, but I mean,
sick of me. Honestly,
if you have no part of your life that's separate, mm-hmm. like you go to work and you know what I mean? You can come home and go, this happened today or, you know, something.
I don't know.
I've known people that like owned a business together. So they get up in the morning and eat breakfast and go to the office and then they spend all day together and then they go home and then what the hell? Like at what point do you go, I can't look at your face?
Should have been a plot point on The Office, really. I mean, because Pam and Jim work together.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they did. They had their problems towards the end. But yeah. I don't know. Okay, then. Well, no, because when I was laid off and Katie had quit her job and then I was laid off at the same time. So we were home all the time. But I was going over to your house 3 days a week. And I remember asking her if she was OK with that. And she was like, yeah, because then I get to pretend like you're going to work.
Ah. Yeah.
Here's the highest grossing horror movies of all time. You ready for this?
Okay.
What do you think the highest grossing horror movie of all time is, by the way?
It would have to be I would think it would have to be for one of the Friday the 13th.
Jason. Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
Not even in the top 10.
Really?
Yeah. Here are the top 10. Scary Movie, which is not a horror movie.
No.
No, it's not even a good movie. Alien.
Well, the first Scary Movie is actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. Alien from 1979 at $286 million. The Amityville Horror, which I have never seen.
It's not that good.
Yeah, I've heard that. Like, it's just the haunted house, right?
No, it's a better hype than a film. And yeah, it's not that great.
Jaws 2 from 1978.
What?
$312 million. It
Jaws
from
2 is a POS.
I've never seen it. I've only seen the original because everybody said that the sequels were garbage.
They're stupid.
Yeah.
It's a shark looking for revenge for a family member.
It. In 2017, so a couple
years. Oh, the newest one. Wow, newer okay. One,
yeah, $328 million. Gremlins.
Wow, that's a big deal.
Gremlins in 1984, $409 million. The Sixth Sense. See, now we're getting into areas where you're like, is this really a horror
movie? That's not a horror movie. That's
it's scary, you know.
No, I wouldn't consider The Sixth Sense. And see, I question Alien. I shouldn't say I question. In my opinion, if I was sitting here classifying films, you said Alien, I'd say sci-fi. I wouldn't say horror.
I would say sci-fi. I would say the first Alien is a horror movie. I don't think.
Oh, it's damn scary.
The second one is more of an action movie, but the first one, I would say that it's a horror movie. The Sixth Sense, Ghostbusters. Really?
Ghostbusters is not a horror movie.
Yeah. Unless you can have nightmares from it, it's not a horror movie. The Brave Little Toaster is my number one horror movie.
That is a horror movie. No, I was going to say. What was that god awful Jersey Girl? That thing gave me nightmares. That was a piece of shit.
Kevin Smith doesn't know how to make good movies anymore. The Exorcist is number two with $996 million.
I could definitely see that.
And then number one is Jaws from 1975. $1.1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's all adjusted for inflation, by the way. If you don't adjust for inflation, then It from 2017 is the highest grossing movie.
Oh, by far, it would stomp everyone.
But
that is crazy, though. I know Halloween, Friday the 13th. What's the Jason Fredman?
No, none Nightmare. Of the classics. None of the big
none of the 80s slasher classics. Yeah.
You know why? Because most people don't want to go see those movies. People want to be scared, but they don't want to be disgusted, I think is
yeah, but at the same time, I don't think, I guess maybe at the time, but Friday the 13th wasn't as gory as people think it was.
No, the first one wasn't that bad.
No.
But the first Nightmare on Elm Street certainly was.
Later. Yeah.
I mean, how much blood was in Johnny Depp, for God's sake?
It was silly, and which is funny because It never scared me as much as it did some people, because I thought of it as a silly Texas Chainsaw Massacre scared the shit out of me.
See, that's funny, because Texas Chainsaw Massacre did not scare me. It just, it bothered me. Like,
maybe
it disturbed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
because it was disturbing and because I lived in Texas and because I'm pretty sure I'd stopped at that gas station before. I was like, yeah, no, this is really, really scary.
All right.
Exorcist scared the shit out of me, because that's the devil.
So we'll be back.
What are you going to do when the devil comes from you, for you, from you, anyway,
from you or on you? The Rosemary's Baby. There you go. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. We'll do a list of the best songs about the industry, right? Best songs.
Oh yeah, you want to do that industry? One?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, songs about the music industry.
Or, yeah. I know we've done songs about music, but we haven't done a list of songs about making music.
Yeah, like 8 days a week. Have a cigar.
Beatles, You Never Give Me Your Money. That's good, because that's all about their agent.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah, it's good. Have we ever done one about just money?
No.
Do you want to do that?
It's actually not a bad idea, because usually when people say that, everybody thinks of either Money by Pink Floyd, which if I never hear again, it's right. Okay.
Yeah. That's the song that Pink Floyd fans hate. And
right.
Yeah, because everyone who doesn't really like Pink Floyd goes, oh, I like Money. That's a good song.
And that and Money, Money, Money.
Money.
Old song. I can't think
of it. All right. So we'll do that tomorrow.
So what are we doing?
The best songs about money.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, cool. I'll talk to you then.
Take this, bitch.
Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. You need to go to him right now if you're listening to me on a phone. Look at your battery right now. Just look at the battery percentage. How much of your battery is left? If it doesn't seem like it holds a charge like it used to, take it to Cody, because he can either replace the battery or he can, get some of the crap off of there. He can make it so that your phone runs like new. You might be thinking right now, I just need to get a new phone. No, you don't. You probably just need a new battery. Maybe you need a new computer, but you don't need a brand new computer to have a good computer. He has refurbished laptops that you can buy. Or maybe you don't want to buy a new laptop. Maybe you're really in love with the laptop you have. Guess what? Take your laptop to him. If it's running a little slow, he'll figure out why it's running slow and fix it so it's just like new. There's no reason to waste money on brand new things when you can take them to Cody and he can fix them for you. Make my computer guy your computer guy. Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. That's AkinsPCRepair.com.